So we're talking about the power of words. We're teaching this series. This is week three. Today there's going to be a lot of information, all right? A lot of scriptures, a lot of conviction. Let's just say that, okay? This has been a great series. It's brought conviction to me, and I've been studying, and, you know, I usually try to study about 2 months before we preach these messages, and it just gets me thinking. It's like, man, I was telling my wife last night. I said, you know, this series, and especially today, and I'm like, man, I just need to shut up. Why am I talking? You know, most of the time when I'm talking, I'm like, why am I even speaking right now? Because I'm not saying anything that matters. And it's like, you know, you hear that 16,000 words a day. I would like to think I'm a quiet individual, but that's a lot of talking. And we all know in this series, if you've listened the last couple of weeks or if you've been here, you know, words carry enormous power. You saw, you know, both good and bad. Bin Laden, you know, and Hitler and Charles Manson, negative, kill you words. You know, and then there's Mother Teresa, love begins with a smile, things like that. And, you know, John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King, who changed the direction of a country, those two guys, with their words. What we say matters. Our text scripture is Proverbs 18, verse 21. And it says, death and life. Those are pretty strong words. Death and life. You know, how many of you want to stand in a courtroom and guilty? Death. Electric chair, whatever they kill people with these days. Those are strong words coming from a judge. It says in the Bible, then Proverbs, death and life are in the power of your tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Everything you have to this point today, everything that you have acquired, everything that you haven't acquired, every good thing, every bad thing, anything that's happened in your life up to this point has been spoken out of your mouth at some point. Yes. Some point along the way. How many of you said, oh, we can't go to lunch today because we don't have any money? That's a drastic statement. You know, how many of you are speaking blessing over your children? Doctors today are excellent at labeling children with letters. I'm like, pretty soon they're going to put numbers in there and call it algebra or something. I'm like, shaw, are you kidding me? It's like, he's ADHD275. It's like, you know, when I was a kid in high school, no, they just called you slow. It's like, dude, you get, you know, go to special class and they'll catch you up. It wasn't this big thing. It wasn't, you know, when Joel was little, you know, they wanted to put him on Ritalin. And we went along with it because you trust doctors, right? How many of you trust doctors? Yeah, I would rather pray, thank you, right? But they put him on Ritalin and it trashed him. He shrunk down to nothing. He was a scrawny little kid anyway, but he just shrunk down to nothing. So when you have to be careful who you're listening to and what's going on. Words can be the key to our success or the reason for our downfall. Yes. And I don't say that flippantly. And when I read this scripture in the Word of God in Proverbs, I'm like, if that wasn't in the Bible, I couldn't believe that. You can't tell me what I say is truth, or what I say is bringing death or life. And yet it says it right in the Bible. I'm like, if it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. So today, we're going to talk. I have 10 points today, which I never do. It's usually like 3 or 4, maybe 5 on a busy day. But I got 10 today, so we'll see what happens. And these 10 points are something each and every one of us have done at one point in our life. Maybe we're still doing it. Thus, the conviction I want to bring to you today. Not condemnation, okay? It's never that. But it's okay to come to church and get a little convicted. Amen. Okay? Because we're talking about words. The Lord, or God Himself in heaven, created the earth with words. We don't have the ability to create, but we can produce with our words. So we're going to talk about the 10 deadly sins that we commit with our tongue. We can produce death or life with the power of our words. This isn't going to be a beatdown today, all right? So adjust your thinking right now. I'm not standing here I'm bringing conviction, but not condemnation. Okay? If you declare to yourself, you know, I'm never going to get on top of these bills, guess what? You're never going to get on top of those bills. Right? So let's talk about this. Let's start in Isaiah chapter 59. And I want to explain something to you. Remember, this is old covenant teaching. Okay? This dispensation is in the law, but it still applies today because it still works today. Now, I want to tell you that we're going to start in chapter 59, verse 1 and verse 2 are probably, if you've been saved any amount of time, you've heard these scriptures, but verse 3 explains verses 1 and 2, okay? Now, listen carefully, just listen carefully, right? It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear." Essentially, he's saying, God is God no matter what. He's not going to be moved by what you do. Okay? He's always going to be right here. Okay? Now listen carefully to verse 2. "But your iniquities," okay, "your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Okay? Now remember, God will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. He's not going to leave you, but you can break relationship. All right? Look at verse 3. Explains everything and why this relationship. We could call it intimacy. You know, into me you see. Intimacy with God is a great thing. But look what happens when sin happens. It says, "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity." This is how you break intimacy with God, because you cannot control your mouth. Okay? The intimacy that we have. God doesn't leave you. This isn't, you know, you're not losing your salvation here. Because once you declare God is Lord, he is Lord of your life. What's happening here is because of the words of your mouth, we're going to see in a minute, and because of your actions, you are breaking intimacy with God. Into me, you see. If you're into God, and that intimacy that you have with the Lord is important to you, pay attention. I was praying this morning, and I was thinking, and I was like, I really want to pay attention to how many times I say I in the day. How many times I try to revert conversations towards me, or how I try to overrun a conversation. Just want to pay attention to that this week. Just, you know, in talking to people. Am I focusing on other people, or am I focusing on me? Is it all about me? Or is it all about Jesus? Because God's number one priority in all the earth, everything that he's created and everything that he's done to this point, is about people. It's about people. So let's talk about these 10 deadly sins that we produce with our tongue that breaks the intimacy with God. God doesn't leave us. God doesn't, like people, shake his head and walk away, but we break intimacy with God. First one is lying. Okay? Lying. The book of Proverbs, we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs, okay? Because Proverbs, for those who don't know, if you're taking notes, I would write this down. Proverbs has three major themes, okay? Three major themes in Proverbs, and they are money, morals, and your mouth. If you read through the wisdom of Solomon in the Proverbs, you're going to catch those three things all the way through. And if you've ever noticed, little side tip for you, there's 31 Proverbs, and most months have around 30, 31 days. Just a little devotional tip, maybe read one a day. Amen. If you have the iVersion Bible app, listen to one every day. Just a little devotional, just start there. It's easy enough. It's going to help you control your mouth. It's going to help you control your morals. Help you with your money, right? Anybody want help with those? If you're sitting in this room, and you're sucking air today, you struggle with all three of those things. Okay? If you're like me, more your mouth. Right? It was deadly. So Proverbs chapter 6, like I said, we're gonna hang out in Proverbs today. And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's going to be a little dicey, all right? It's going to be a little convicting. It's going to be a little, I might step on your toes a little bit today, but you know what? Know I love you, and know that a little conviction's okay. Because if I'm walking up a hill backwards, and somebody walks up to me and says, hey, you're walking up this hill backwards. And I said, hey, I didn't know I could turn around and walk up this hill forwards because it's a lot easier. I would want someone to help me if I'm struggling in my life. Just saying. Just a thought about that. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, if you're taking notes, which I would encourage you to take notes, there should be a notepad in your worship guide, probably pay attention to these verses right here. Because these words are the strongest you're going to find in all of the Word of God. Okay. These six things, verse 16, chapter 6, Proverbs, he says, these six things the Lord hates. This would be a great time to pay attention. Seven are an abomination to him. This is pretty important. If we want to know, and, you know, do you think God hates things? And I would say, well, according to this, God hates these things. Listen to what he hates. A proud look. God hates pride. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Those six things. You know why God hates those things? Because it affects his people. You are trashing somebody in those six verses. That's why God hates those things. Does God say he hates you? No. Or me? Because I've done those things? No. Another kind of a slanty side theme of this whole series is that the same vehicle you have driven into the ditch with, right? Your mouth is the same vehicle you can get out of the ditch with by saying, I repent, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I've blown it, God. I repent. Amen. That word abomination is a word for sin. Kind of a big deal word. The Greek, is, we've talked about missing the mark, and humotneho, the Greek word for missing the mark in the New Testament. Well, abomination in the Old Testament means detestable. If it's an abomination to God, it is detestable to him. Lying is detestable to God. You know why? Because God is absolute truth. There is no lying in him. So when he hears lying or senses lying amongst his people, it's an abomination. It's detestable to him. The root is idolatry. It's absolute opposite of his nature. That's why God hates lying so much. I was kind of a good liar. I was such a good liar, I couldn't keep the story straight when I was talking to people years and years ago before I was saved. I would tell one person one story and another person another story, and I'd be like, okay, what did I tell that person? And I'd get them crossed up, and I'd get in trouble. It's like, I thought you said you were, and I thought you said you did, and I thought you said this, and, you know, it's hard to keep track of those things. It was an absolute stronghold in my life. Stronghold. You know what a stronghold is? Stronghold is a habit you can't break. Anybody got a lying stronghold? Ouch. I told you, a little conviction isn't a bad thing. Whoo, I'm feeling it right here. It's all over me. It's okay. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you understand that it's God hates these things because it affects his people. And it breaks intimacy with him. Kind of important. Yes. God's people are important to him as well as us. It's important to make sure of those things. There's only one way you can break a stronghold. Number one, accountability. Accountability. Be accountable to somebody. Allow somebody some space in your life to say, hey, I think you're maybe exaggerating. I give my wife full leeway in my life to Shanghai me during a message and say, hey, you're exaggerating. It really wasn't that big of a deal. You're exaggerating a little bit. Because we all want to make the story great. We all want to make the story over the top and be cool. You know, lying is rooted in pride, trying to make yourself look better. Ouch. And idolatry. Ouch. So a stronghold is a habit you can't break. Accountability is how you break it. And correctability. Being able to be corrected. Where somebody walk up on you and say, hey man, I think you're exaggerating that story. I think you're kind of over the line a little bit. Without the person going, oh, I'm offended. You called me out. It's like, what are we supposed to do? Allow you to sin for the rest of your life and just live a... Who wants to be an overcomer? Who wants to be somebody who's in large and in charge and just over the top and I got this. I can run my life. I got the devils under my feet. Get behind me, Satan. You got no way you can touch me. You can't touch my kids. Get out of my checkbook. Who wants that life? Anybody want that life? Because if you want to be an overcomer, you got to get the strongholds out. Out. Amen. They cannot run your life. And you have to be correctable. You have to be accountable. Allow somebody to speak into your life. You are not supposed to do it alone. Yes. If you want to stay home and try to figure it out and do this, that's not the way God designed it. It's called fellowship. Everybody fellowshipping together. Amen. Where I can say, hey, man, I think you're slipping a little bit. You in the Word? You reading the Word? You listening to the messages? Are you with us? Are you in this game with us? Are you part of the team? Because it doesn't feel like it. You know, anyway, you always get that vibe off of people who you know, especially people who don't follow Jesus so much. You know, you get that vibe. It's like, you know, this is deep. It's like, yeah, bro, let me love you. Let me just love you, okay? And it's hard. So remember, accountability and correctability. The way you break that stronghold of lying. You know, a lot of times I think we lie because we have to be right. Let me just exaggerate this story a little bit so I can be better than you. God hates lying. Second one, number two. We saw it in that verse, sowing discord among the brethren. Sowing discord among the brethren. You can, I see this one a lot with families where somebody's trying to get in there and mess stuff up between a husband and wife. Instead of promoting unity between the husband and wife, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. That happened all the time to me. You won't believe it. It's like, no, man, you know, that's sowing discord. Back up in chapter 6 and look at verse 12. He says, a worthless person, oh, that's deep, a worthless person, a wicked man walks with a perverse mouth, always being perverse, winks with his eyes, shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers, perversity is in his heart. Remember, Matthew chapter 12 says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you got perversity in your heart, it's going to roll out of your tongue sooner or later. You're going to be all real cool and pretty in here for an hour and a half. But sooner or later, perversity is going to roll out of your mouth. Let me see. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. He sows discord. A lot of times, that's just telling somebody, hey, it's like, oh. Oh, I see what's going on here. Dominic told me something about Tony, so now I'm going to look at Tony different. What's happening? He's sowing discord in the family. Ouch. Ouch. Look what happens to those who sow discord. He says, he devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, because he sows discord, his calamity shall come suddenly. Got a little calamity in your life? Got a little thing going on you probably don't like and can't control? A little calamity? Maybe you should stop talking about people. Maybe you should quit sowing discord and talking about so-and-so and this person and that person. And you know what? That's rooted in idolatry. That's rooted in evil. God hates those things. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Without remedy. How many of you want to be without remedy? Ouch. It's like, man, I can't even fix this. Can't even do it. Therefore, calamity. Calamity. That's terrible. Who wants calamity in their life? How are you going to be an overcomer if you're dealing with calamity all the time? Isn't it interesting how the enemy works? He doesn't just attack you right in the face, stand before you with his stupid horns and pitchfork and say, blah, blah, blah. He comes around the side and gets you distracted over here, messing with this calamity. Then your kids are into this calamity. And then you got something else over here and something else over there. And pretty soon you've been out of church for 4 weeks. You don't even know what's happening. And you're lost. Interesting how the enemy works like that. Get you all distracted. Boy, that ticks me off. When finally, all of a sudden, it's like walking into a fence. You're like, I'm so distracted. How did this happen? Because you stepped out of the, just stepped out just a tiny bit. Now you're all a mess. I got to call the pastor. I got to pray. I need a connect card. I need 5 connect cards because everything's just a, doesn't have to be that way. We have to bring unity to the body.
Yes.
Sowing discord. So number one, lying. Number two, sowing discord among the brethren. Number three is a world popular one that we hear about all the time. Gossip. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what happened to whoever? Biggest problem in the church today. Did you hear about what's going on at Adventure? Did you hear what happened at City Church? Number one, it's a sin. Number two, you're talking about a work of Jesus Christ in the earth, so you better back up off it.
Yes.
Don't be gossiping about other ministers, other ministries, not just here in Utah, but, you know, I was talking to somebody else that was running down Joel Osteen the other day. Believe what you want about Lakewood Church. I love Joel Osteen's dad. It was awesome. Joel Osteen does what he does, but you know what? This guy started running down Lakewood Church, and I just flat walked away. He's like, hey, where are you going? It's like, hey, man, I don't care what you think about anything because you're gossiping about a man of God, a work of God in the earth, and there are tens of thousands of people who are blessed by that ministry. You know, Kenneth Hagin in the Rhema thing. Somebody starts talking about that, and I'm like, I'm out. How do you talk gossip about somebody who's has produced fruit in the earth? People have been healed in that ministry. How do you run that down?
Yeah.
Well, that's not biblical. Well, it's like, how do you know? You don't even read the word. I'm just listening to somebody else and repeating what they said. Anybody watch the news lately?
Yeah.
Right? Half the junk coming out of your TV or radio is gossip because they have no solid foundation about what they're saying. There is no truth to anything they say. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, out of the Living Translation says this: a gossip goes around telling secrets. Don't hang around with chatty Cathys. My version. People like to talk, man. It's just like, dude, stop. You're we've got 10 deadly sins and you're on 11. Just in one sentence, just stop talking. Just stop talking. You know, you just want to, you know, everybody see that guy on America's Got Talent, Tape Face? I think that dude has set a precedent for people's mouths. Just tape on your face. Duct tape on your face. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. Everybody knows they got issues. Listen to what he says. This is one of the best statements I've ever seen. He says, for I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find. And you won't like my response. It sounds like he's coming home to his children, right, after work. It's like, I'm not going to like what I find, and you're not going to like my response. Right? I am afraid that I will find. This is totally written to children. You can just call them and say this. I am afraid that I will find quarreling. right? With your mouth. Jealousy, with your mouth. Anger, with your mouth. Selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance. That's crazy. And disorderly behavior. Paul's writing to a church and saying this. What about God's people? What about God's people? How many of us are in that list? Right? And here's the church. You know how the church disguises gossip? It's like, well, I just want to tell you this so you can pray. Oh, that's coming. That's coming. That one's coming. But it's like, hey, I'm telling you this so you can pray. Or if you want to be real spiritual and say, I just want you to agree with me on this one thing concerning someone else. No, that's gossip. You know, why can't you pray about it? Do you really even have a burden to pray about these things? Or are you just talking? You just want somebody to know that you have something on someone. I know this about so-and-so. I know this about so-and-so. It's like, shut up. Stop talking about people. That's not the way God designed it to work. You know, like I said, the biggest problem in church today. Did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, here's another one. Oh, so-and-so left the church because, you know. Oh, so-and-so's having marriage problems. I heard from the pastor. It's like, well, if that pastor's talking about somebody he's counseling, he needs to be drugged behind a car and fired. Thrown off a cliff or something. Gossip is a killer. Number four, slander. Slander is described as a false and malicious report about someone. A false and malicious. False and malicious. Ouch. Report about someone. We pass on information about people that we have no idea. Well, I heard from so-and-so. It's kind of like gossiping. I've heard that so-and-so. How many of you like, you know Google's 100% true? You know, who was it that was a couple of weeks ago? So they said somebody died and it was totally false. And the guy's on Facebook going, somebody said I died. I'm okay. I think it was Johnny Depp or something. Said he was executed, and it was all over Google and all over the news and all this other stuff, and it's like, I'm fine. That's good. Somebody's slandering my, just making stuff up, right? In the news media today, half the stuff they say isn't even accurate. And I got to tell you, when people come to me and want to talk about something, I'll say, what's your source? Well, I saw it on MSNBC. I'm like, no. Don't trust them. I don't trust the news. I don't even watch the news because they cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted. They are telling half-truths and lies, and they are spreading false and malicious rumors to manipulate you into believing something else. Amen. How many times, I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here, don't judge me. How many times has the news media slandered the president to turn the American people against what he's trying to do? And it's not just this president, it was the last one, and the one before that, and the one before that, or the one before that, yep. For the past, 45 that there's been. The news has twisted things to make you think one thing when it's not true. Amen. Psalm 140, verse 11 says, let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Listen to this. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Let evil find you out because you can't shut your mouth. Right. And it will. Just like calamity and evil are going to chase you down because you cannot control your mouth. Yes. Ouch. That ought to fix you right there. I would write that one down. I'd say, I'm good, Pastor. Thank you for the message today. That was awesome. Right? Proverbs 10 and chapter 10, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Hurt, you ever hear the phrase, hurt people, yeah. Right? And it's usually a hurt or an anguish that's hiding hatred in, whether you were abused or, somebody took advantage of you or whatever, that hurt inside of you, unless you root that stronghold out, is going to manipulate your mouth all the way to the grave. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. That was good. I get it. I got it now. I got it. He says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. What's up, fool? You slander. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, here's Paul again talking to his children at the church, I guess. Verse 11, now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. And usually this verse focuses on the sexually immoral. But look what else he says. Who is sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or an extortioner. Don't even eat with somebody like that. And here's the problem, though, that I see. You know, I look at that verse and I go, yeah, that's great. But a lot of us work for that person. And we have to deal with that person, or we have that person at our job that we have to deal with. And it says, don't eat with them. You know, you can conduct business without having to be friends. Right. You know, without having to, you know, go to lunch together and hang out together or sit around in the office and talk about so-and-so who's not there that day. You don't have to do those things.
Right.
You don't have to be all engaged and be, you know, buddy-buddy. It doesn't have to be that way. You can do your own thing. Let's stop. Let's as the church, as followers of Christ, anybody a follower of Christ?
Yes.
As a follower of Christ, let's work hard to give a good report.
Amen.
And say, you just don't know. Maybe they're going through something. Maybe they're struggling in this area. Maybe they're you know, let's pray for that person. If you're talking to another believer, let's just throw down. I love my wife. That's what she does. You know, when we get a bad report or you know, we'll be talking about something or something's happening with somebody or somebody, it's like, let's just pray right now. Let's just throw down in front of God right now. Just lift them up and put them on the altar of God where the blood of Jesus is and pray for a miracle.
Amen.
Let's just work hard to kill that bad report before it even gets started.
Yes.
Slander. These are suable offenses. You can be sued for talking about somebody. Number five, tale bearing. Doesn't mean you're growing a tail, okay? You're telling secrets, revealing secrets, or breaking confidence. Breaking confidence. I know everybody in this room has had a friend that you've said something to, and you walked away from that conversation going, I really wish I wouldn't have said that to that person, because you know it's going to end up on social media. It's going to end up out there in Twitterverse. And it's going to be like her Instagram, you know, with a cute little cat or something. The way they do. I go, man, I really wish I wouldn't have said that to the tale bearer. Proverbs 11:13, a tale bearer reveals secrets. Then look what it says. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Wouldn't it be great to have some faithful friends?
Amen.
Somebody you know has your back. Somebody you know that you can speak to. And I know my staff, Pastor Paul, Pastor Michelle, you know, Dominic and Teresa, these people that my inner circle of our church staff, our foundation people, I can tell them stuff, and I know they're not going to broadcast it all over the place. They're going to get on their face, and they're going to pray.
Yes,
and they're going to say, we're together with you, Pastor. We're going to fight this battle together. We're not going to leave you out there alone. And we're definitely not going to talk to social media about it or, you know, whoever. We are going to have your back. The talebearer must be put down. No more revealing secrets. You know, the church, the body of Christ, the family of God should be the safest place on the earth for people. You should know that if we're counseling together, it's not going to end up in a message. That if we're walking in and you're telling me something in confidence, it's not going to end up, you know, in a book somewhere. Or it's not going to end up on social media. It's not going to end up out there in a message or taught at another ministry. That's tale bearing. That's a sin. Isn't it interesting that James 5, chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. Okay, confess your trespasses to one another. That doesn't mean I'm going to take my sins and tell him. That scripture means this. If I have trespass against him, I'm supposed to go and fix it with him. Not tell him that I have lust problems and issues and all these other, you know, problems with everybody else and tell him. I'm not supposed to confess my sin to anybody but God. But if I have aught against him, I have to fix it. That's what James says. Then he says, if you confess your aught against your brother, you will be healed.
Amen.
I'm like, what? Wait a minute. No wonder why I can't get healed. Because I'm doing the wrong thing. Maybe we've been reading the Bible wrong for years. We confess our sins to God for salvation.
Yeah.
If we have aught against each other, we confess our sin against our brother that we're holding aught against, and we shall be healed. That's what James is talking about. You're not supposed to confess your sin to anybody but God because of salvation. The church has to be the safest place for anybody. Confess your sins to God for salvation. Confess your sins to each other if you have aught against each other for healing. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. That was good. I enjoyed that. You set me free today with this teaching on sin and lying and slander and all the rest. It's good. It's okay to participate. Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you what. We got through the first five. Okay? You got to come back next week to hear the other five. So we're going to be here all afternoon talking about this. Let's everybody stand up together. I just want you to know, you know, we love you. We love you guys. You guys are amazing. And this should, I pray, bring a little bit of conviction. Say, you know what? I've been talking too much. I've been saying the wrong things to the wrong people in the wrong way for the wrong reason. So in a minute, I want to help you, because we're not going to just convict you with all this sin and then just leave you to go home and feel bad about it. We're going to fix it right now.
Amen.
We can fix it right now. I told you a couple of weeks ago that there's seven divine words that heal every single relationship. Seven divine words that heal every relationship, and they are this: I was wrong, will you forgive me? So somebody needs to say something to somebody this week in your life to be set free from these five. We got five more to go. Let me tell you, it doesn't get any easier, especially the last one. The last one stings a lot, and we've all are guilty of it. But I want you to know, close your eyes, bow your heads right now. We can change your direction of your life today by simply confessing to God, yes, Lord, I have sinned in this area. Whether it's lying or gossip or slander or whatever. Yes, Lord, I have sinned against the church. Yes, Lord, I have sinned against my brothers. Yes, Lord, I have sinned against you, God. How about that one? Ouch. So with your eyes closed, your head bowed, just want you to think for a second who that person is. Maybe it's Jesus. Maybe it's the church. Maybe you got offended and walked away from the church because somebody, you know, did these things to you. Well, you can't control anybody else. You can only take care of you. You can only fix you today. So in a second, I want to pray this prayer with you. I want you to repeat after me. What's going to happen is I want you to repeat this prayer. Say, Father in heaven,
I repent today
for speaking against my brothers.
For speaking against the church,
and for speaking against you, God.
Father, I was wrong.
Will you forgive me? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's what just happened. You have cleaned your heart of any iniquity, any abomination, and anything against God. Now comes the hard part, keeping it that way. You know, we can come in here every Sunday. You can pray before God and repent every single minute of every single day. That's okay. It's about keeping your heart clear, keeping your heart clean. That's it. It's a simple process. You know, we live in the dispensation of grace. That means we can do that. That's okay. But I want to encourage you this week, okay? Think about what the words are that are coming out of your mouth. Okay, am I really, is this necessary conversation? Do I really need to be talking about this? Or am I lying? Am I exaggerating? Am I expanding a story so I look good? That's rooted in pride. If I remember back to Proverbs chapter 6, God hates that. God hates lying. God hates discord. Just remember that. So be encouraged this week. Know that God loves you. You are redeemed. You are purchased back with a price. Your hearts are clear. Now let's walk in it. Let's walk in it this week. Let's be above reproach people. That people look at and go, hey, I want to be like you. I want to know what you have. Because whatever I got ain't working. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes, let me pray over you before you go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that forgiveness is ours. That, Father, all the stupid stuff we do and say, God, that we can stand in this room today and we can say, I repent, Lord. And you say, it is done. So, Father, we thank you that your word is truth in our lives, that your word is living above us and brooding over us as we go through our day. And, Father, for the conviction felt in this room today, Lord, let it take root so that these, your people, Father, can begin to live like Jesus lived, can begin to walk and do miracles and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These people are redeemed by the blood of Jesus today. Their hearts are clear. Their minds are right. They have learned that the word of God is truth, and we shall walk in it. Now go before us, Lord. Set the way. Put people in our path who need help, who need prayer, who need the life of Jesus in them. And we thank you for it, Lord. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' mighty name. If you can agree with what's been said in this room today, say amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Hey, Sunday Connect's going to be out in the hallway today, I'm finding out right now. So step out there and have a good time, man. We'd love to meet you. Love to hear what's going on in your life. Otherwise, have a blessed week. Amen.